yesterday when Gandharva was speaking. And he was mentioning how everyone who is currently preaching to somebody or another is being remnants from Srila Prabhupada's merciful example. So I was thinking that is true. One of the ways to make spiritual advancement is to honor the remnants of the advanced devotees. But even more so, as well as honoring the remnants, is to serve to Prabhupada's mission. And that is the real respect that we can show to Prabhupada. Just like this kund here is very deep, even though the head is, Srila Prabhupada is very deep. His teachings to us remain very deep. So I'll just give one small story, or maybe two. Once Srila Prabhupada very mercifully brought us as a young group of devotees who had just come to India, and he brought us to Vrindavan. And actually, he didn't bring us right away to Vrindavan. When we first came to India, there was no sightseeing, there was no tourism. It was simply serving to Prabhupada's desire to establish the Harinam movement in a very strong, meaningful way back in India. So, from the moment we landed on the plane in Bombay, less than 4 hours later, we were out on the street performing Harinam. And all of the traveling we did in those early few months was to go from one place to the other and perform Harinam and to speak about Lord Chaitanya's vision. So we didn't come to Vrindavan because there was no invitation here. There was no practical purpose for us to come here. But it wasn't until over almost 2 years later, actually, that Srila Prabhupada brought us here, a group of us, on the bus, and Srila Prabhupada was in an ambassador car, which ultimately broke down.
True Indian fashion. And so Srila Prabhupada also joined us on the bus. And we have quite nice buses on this yatra, but this was quite a typical Indian bus in those days with unpadded seats, and the windows weren't there, just some bars. And a lot of dust and a lot of fumes from the bus were inside the bus along with us. But we didn't seem to notice or even mind it very much because we were with Srila Prabhupada. And each day we would come out, like we were doing here, staying in one place and coming out each day to a particular place. So one day we came to Govardhan, and we didn't actually do parikrama by feet so much. We were going in different places, mostly in the bus, but then we would get down and pay our obeisances to this particular place or that particular place. And Prabhupada spoke very little. We didn't have a sound system. And at one particular place, we stopped, and I haven't actually figured out where it was, but there was two kunjas, and one was being cleaned out. So he indicated that the men could go to one kunj and the ladies to the other. And he was going to have his massage. But across the street from this particular place, there was a veranda and some doors to what looked like some type of dharmashala. And Prabhupada indicated that he was going to take his massage in one of these rooms. And I was going to cook, because when he was getting his massage, I would cook. I carried a trunk with me, and I had brought everything that I would need to prepare prasad. So I was sitting on the veranda cooking, and the servant opened the door for Srila Prabhupada to go in the room and get his massage. But when he opened the door, I could see there were no rooms at all. It was just a wall of doors. And on the other side was just Vrindavan. There were no rooms. But Prabhupada went in as if there was a room, and the door was closed. And he had his massage. And when he came out, the devotees had finished bathing, and the ladies are sitting on one side of the veranda. The other men devotees were sitting on the other side of the veranda. And Prabhupada sat in the center of us. And as soon as he sat down, that was my cue that I should bring his prasadam. So I brought one plate, and I was in a little anxiety that day because I didn't have so much atta left. I just had a small amount of dough for chapatis. And so I brought out what I had first prepared. And the minute the plate for Srila Prabhupada was put down, two dogs appeared out of nowhere. And they were the typical hairless skid dogs with just big cuts and bruises and huge teeth, and they were snarling and making the typical dog noises, very aggressive, and they were charging right up to Srila Prabhupada. So immediately, some of the young sannyasis jumped up to protect Srila Prabhupada, and they started to make some motion toward the dogs, and Srila Prabhupada started to rise up. And he indicated to them they should sit down. And then he took off of his plate a chapati, and he tore it in half, and he handed one to each dog, and then he went, jow. And the dogs immediately stopped snarling. They took their half a chapati, and they just turned around and walked very calmly away. And Srila Prabhupada turned to us, and he said, you never know who they may be in Vrindavan. So this was a very wonderful lesson by practical demonstration from Srila Prabhupada, how to respect all living entities, particularly in Vrindavan. Since you're going today to Radhakund, is that right? No? So Srila Prabhupada also took us for the first time to Radhakund. And Hare Krishna. I guess you like that story. Now it is, you know, very nice how Radhanath Maharaj prepares everybody to have some spiritual understanding of whatever wonderful place is being whatever wonderful place the devotees are going to observe for darshan. And the darshan is not simply just to see this pool of water or that particular tree or this building, but to actually understand the wonderful pastime that occurred there and to understand the mood of the personalities who took part in the pastimes. And to get an opportunity to offer our respect to these particular holy places. So when Srila Prabhupada took us to Radhakund, all we knew that this was a really special place. And we had heard, because the book wasn't out yet, but we had heard that it said in the Nectar of Instruction that if you take your bath in Radhakund, that you are guaranteed liberation. So we were quite eager to take advantage of this offering. So when we arrived there en masse, of course en masse, I don't know how many of us there were, but it seemed like a lot of people in those days to even get 30 or 40 or 50 devotees from abroad together in India was quite an enormous undertaking. So one busload meant there was maybe 35 of us, or maybe 40. But we arrived, and before anybody could think of anything, before Srila Prabhupada could actually offer any instructions on what to do or what not to do, devotees just started jumping into Radhakund. And everybody was jumping in, the men and the women. And there was really no segregation. Everybody was just intent on jumping in. And I would have jumped in too, but I don't know how to swim. So I was blowing up the rubber inflation device so that I could go in. And I noticed that Srila Prabhupada was not going in, and I noticed that he was looking in a rather
incredulous expression, that
it seemed like he didn't know what to do, but it seemed like he wanted to do something. And then he started calling some devotees, and slowly it began to dawn on us that we weren't really entering Radhakund in a proper mood. And he managed to get all the men out and move them over to Shamakund. And after that incident, he gave the instruction that is well known also, that we shouldn't go jumping in, taking bath in Radhakund. Rather, he instructed us to just take a bath by offering water to our head. And more important, even before we should do that, we should offer our obeisances, something we neglected to do. So it is very nice to see how well everyone is being instructed in these days, particularly by Radhanath Maharaj, during these yatras, when the proper mood of respect is there. And I am feeling that this is a wonderful way to please Srila Prabhupada. I want to thank all of you, and particularly Radhanath Maharaj. Hare Krishna.